coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions.
I played for the Portland Trailblazers.
Cool.
Phoenix Suns.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. And today, we are talking about Survivor Kaleon. One of my favorite seasons ever. It's actually the first season I ever watched. I watched it on a whim. And I immediately wanted to watch every other season of Survivor. It was just that good and that compelling, and it just sucked me in. But enough talking about this absolute gem of a season. Let's just get right on into it with Survivor Kaleon, the season that created this channel.
I'm president of the Miami Marlins. In baseball, there's only one winner at the end. Survivor is the same. So I've been playing this game for a long time, just not on the beach.
David Sampson. David just immediately comes off as this shiesty guy who overthinks everything. He does an asinine move in labeling Garrett a threat on day one.
Leaders of each group are now going to decide who is the weakest.
I make decisions like this often, and I'm going to go with him.
Wow, you didn't even think about it.
And thinking endgame, before he's even playing the game, he then tries to form an alliance with Just Cass in the most obvious way possible, and Spencer, Jatia, Tasha, and Garrett swiftly vote him out. And at the end of the day, he should have never been the first boot. Jatia was right there. I mean, why the hell was the Miami Marlins president even playing Survivor anyway? This ain't Moneyball, pal. Irwin R. Scheister over here goes into fun downfall.
You don't think that you, Spencer, and I worked out an alliance on day four?
Oh, you are out. Now I'm out.
Wow.
Garrett Adelstein. Garrett is a beefy nerd, much like WWE's current roster, actually. He's immediately labeled the weakest member of the tribe by David for asinine reasons and basically is given a free immunity idol. He doesn't want to play the game the way it's supposed to be played, so he instead tells his entire tribe not to go off and talk and instead just stay here.
Garrett, you're an idiot. What are you doing? You're a first-class grade A moron in Survivor. Why would you do that?
I love how annoyed Tasha gets at him for it, too. Jatia is just the obvious next boot after she single-handedly loses the challenge for the whole team as well as intentionally dumping the rice, but thanks to Garrett's big mouth and trying way too hard to be the leader of the Brains tribe, Garrett gets blindsided with an idol in his pocket in a pretty glorious way over Jatia. It may be one of my favorite blindsides of all time, and Garrett for sure belongs in Fun Downfall.
Today is definitely beautiful on a beautiful tribe, but there's a lot of people playing dumb out here, and I'm on to it.
Bryce Johnston. Bryce is hilarious. It's a shame he does not last long at all, but he becomes this extremely memorable figure on the season just based on how funny he is in actual confessionals. He really doesn't do much. He's mostly just sitting in the shade and talking shit on everyone else with Morgan, but those are the type of characters I tend to like. He's strategical and creates an alliance with himself, Morgan, and Jeremiah. It's sad that he barely gets any content because I am perfectly willing to put him in great.
Jeff, I feel like everyone should pull their own weight around camp, you know?
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Had he gotten maybe two or three more confessionals, it might justify putting him higher, but for now I can only throw Bryce in mildly entertaining.
I'm coming in hot. It's going to be guns blazing. I'm going in like a crazy one, like a banshee. That's why they had people guarding you. I was like the mental patient, and then you left the mental patient alone and I went crazy.
Jatia Taylor. Jatia starts off the season getting her tribe's hopes up with her nuclear engineer expertise and her idea for the greatest shelter ever and showing the Brady power of the Brain tribe.
I'm a nuclear engineer.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Nuclear engineer, wow.
I have an idea for a shelter.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. That's why I got a plan.
Okay.
Only for it all to be a total wash, and it turns out she has no idea what she's talking about.
How did we come up with the criteria for brains? I'd like to see that data.
Jatia, in a word, is iconic. As far as So Bad It's Good, you could consider Jatia the poster child of that. It's hard not to think of Jatia famously dumping the rice onto the fire as soon as you see her. Brandon may have dumped the rice two seasons earlier, but what makes Jatia's dumping of the rice so much more iconic rather than just cruel is the fact that Jatia still survives the vote over Garrett. It's probably the most insane act of disrespecting the entire tribe that goes completely unpunished in the show's run. It actually propels her into being a great, incredibly memorable character. She's probably the worst player to ever make it past two tribal councils, on a six-person tribe, no less. And it's amazing that she at least got to have a run, rather than just being the obvious first boot fodder. She's garbage in physical challenges, she doesn't help much around camp, she's horribly socially and useless on puzzles.
So, my tribe sat me down and told me, she, please sit down right here. Well, we've been reviewing your file, and we think you have to go. We just made, no, I'm not going to take you in private, I'll just tell you from the whole company. Yeah, right.
She fails all three of the braids, beauty, and broad gimmick. I'm not saying she's not a beautiful person, just the beauty represents the social game in this instance, and her social game is garbage. Her ability to fail hilariously, of course, lands her straight into hilarious. I love Jatia.
My name is Cliff Robinson. I played 18 years in the NBA. I always play for bread and meat. I don't win, I don't eat. That's what the game of Survivor is about.
Cliff Robinson. If I had a nickel for every time Cliff was almost literally a cheat code the Braun tribe could just type in to dominate a challenge to an unfair degree, I'd have two nickels. Which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice.
Got a lot of weight, a lot of height, a lot of body. Jeremiah and Spencer are going in right away. Alexis completely unmatched. Doesn't seem fair. LJ dragging her. Cliff just laying back saying, go ahead. Give it a shot.
Cliff Robinson is immediately the leader of the Braun tribe just based on being an NBA star and just in general being a massive guy. He may be possibly the biggest dude ever on Survivor. I don't know why they just let him be in on a challenge where the goal is to drag your opponent off a pole, because who the hell is dragging Cliff? You'll need three guys to take down a guy as big as Cliff. That's just not fair. I don't think they'd be able to carry him even if he was dead. They even gave him a basketball challenge. Huh, I wonder who's going to win this free throw competition. Cliff fucking Robinson or some nerdy chess player? That's like having Michael Scoopin on your tribe and the challenge's puzzle is navigating Tor. Cliff gets swapped into a position Trish is able to manipulate into being a boot for the big fella, and it's a brilliant move by Trish that also takes out Lindsay. The only 2-for-1 vote out I can think of.
And it was a beautiful thing, 2 for the price of 1.
R.I.P. big guy, you belong in Mildly Entertaining.
Wu-Tang.
I'm not on your team. I will never be on your team. I think that you're annoying. I think you're terrible. I think you might be the most horrific person I've ever met in my life.
Do you think I'm annoying?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. You know what? Now ask me if I care.
Lindsay Ogle. Lindsay is a decent character. She's fun in the short time that she lasts and seems to hate everyone on her tribe besides Cliff.
Trisha totally exaggerates her laugh around guys, and it makes me sick. Like, you're 50 years old. Stop trying to get attention from 20-year-old men. Seriously.
She talks tons of trash. She's decently entertaining in her run, even if her quit is one of the least valid quits in the history of the show, and that's including the quits from 45. Lindsay quits because people are playing Survivor. Oh no. I do like how Jeff doesn't give her any shit for quitting, and they basically just punish her by giving her a purple edit, which is totally fine with me. Lindsay still manages to remain memorable for her surprisingly good confessionals and her amazing Trish impression.
Lindsay, I just wish we could just contribute like everybody else. I just want you to contribute. That's all I'm saying.
I think she at least deserves Mildly Entertaining.
Morgan lied day one and it put a bigger red flag. Not that she doesn't have 100 red flags already. It told me exactly what I needed to know, which is to not trust her and never ally with her. So I'm going to protect myself and jump ship right away.
Alexis Maxwell. Alexis survives being the first booted from the beauty tribe, only to be swap-screwed. She really doesn't do anything memorable, but she's a decent enough player, and she's honestly one of the few pre-merge boots I would love to see on a return, because I think she would do a lot better on a returning season. She was eliminated after the swap because of how integrated she was with the beauty alliance with Jeffra and LJ, and looked at as a bigger liability than Jeremiah or Morgan. Had she made the merge, I think she gets in with Jeffra and LJ, and them along with Jeremiah and maybe even Morgan might have been able to swing the game away from Tony's control, and Alexis is perfectly positioned in that foursome. How much win equity she has, I have no idea. I'm not sure if she beats Jeffra in the final two, which is probably what would have been her goal. Alexis is interesting enough as a player to land her near the bottom of good player, right there with Misty Giles.
I'm a police officer, and I started mixed martial arts in 2009. Getting paid to punch someone in the face, it doesn't really get better than that.
Sarah Lucina. Sarah is an incredible player in the pre-merge. No matter where she went, she was the center of everything. Sarah immediately knows Tony is a cop, and Tony tries lying about it, which is hilarious.
You know how people say they have a gaydar? Well, I have, like, a copdar. Like, I could tell who cops are, and Tony's a cop, and I knew it from day one, and he finally told me. I felt like I won the lottery. I was like, gosh, dang it, I knew I was right.
She then gets swap screwed, but she makes it work for her. However, as soon as it's the merge, she throws all that out the window and instead just obviously plays both sides and Dolly Neely's herself out of the game at the merge.
I can do whatever I want, you know? You want to pick a fight with me? I'll flip over with those other guys, so don't test me, because I will put you in your place and send you packing.
She's the swing vote and gets a big head about it and demands both tribes kiss her feet, which they don't. Instead, they vote her off.
Seventh person voted out, the first member of our jury. Sarah. Hi,
the tribal council where Sarah goes home is quite possibly the most entertaining tribal up to that point. There's idols being played all over the place, people are clapping at the votes, everyone seems drunk and having a blast, except for Sarah and Oldapari. Sarah is an amazing player that goes out in a blaze of glory, and she's definitely going in entertaining.
I was an NFL cheerleader. I don't want to sound like super conceited, but from a guy, I usually get what I want.
Morgan McLeod. Morgan lets you know right off the bat that she's not conceited, and thank God.
I mean, I don't mean to sound conceited, but I think we're beauty.
She immediately comes off as this vapid, shallow, and dare I say, conceited, mean girl cheerleader stereotype that we all knew in high school.
I don't think I'm being mean to her. I'm ignoring her. Maybe that's mean, but I think she's been, you know, ignored and made fun of all her life, so she should be used to this. With Cass, I feel like she's just a bitter, ugly old lady, and this sounds really conceited, but I think she hates me because I'm cuter than her, and I've always been cuter than her.
Morgan is the definition of peaked in high school, actually. She's the girl who called you ugly in middle school, who's messaging you on Facebook like, hey girlfriend, have you heard of essential oils? And posting images of her in the lobbies of expensive hotels on Instagram to cover up the fact that she's 400k in debt. Am I projecting? I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that Morgan is a fantastic character.
But at the end of the day, I still don't like Jeremiah at all. I think he's dumb as rocks and, you know, he's a big fat liar. I don't really understand why he's on this tribe. I don't think he's that beautiful, and we're supposed to be the beautiful tribe.
All of her content is absolute gold, and she's another in a line of an archetype I've realized that I love on Survivor, and that's the do nothing but sit in the shade and talk shit on everyone else characters. That's what she is. She's this hot blob of laziness. I generally don't comment on people's bodies out of a basic level of human decency and respect, but something I will never not laugh at is Morgan's giant flopping boobs as she's running or doing anything physical. It's like Dead or Alive on PlayStation 1 jiggle physics, but in a person. She does absolutely nothing the entire game. Tony even calls her a pillow. Morgan, however, did not need to do anything because anytime they put the camera on her and gave her a microphone, she was producing gold all of the time. Her saying Cass only doesn't like her because Cass is ugly and Morgan is pretty brings me back to the Amazon with Heidi Strobel.
The cuter girls, me and Jen and Shauna, kind of went off from the older women because we're younger and we're cuter.
We've got better bodies, and for some reason, that's like a huge issue with older people.
And Morgan is basically a less motivated Heidi, if I'm being completely honest. I love her so much. I'm so tempted to put her in love, but I think I'm just going to put her at the top of hilarious.
He's a Boston boy. That's probably why I thought he was cute from afar without even knowing.
When I got single, I was like, you know what? I want to get a horse. And when I got one,
single right now?
Single, yeah.
Uh-oh, Trace.
Single. I think LJ's a really handsome guy, but I could be his mother. I mean, I'm not Mrs. Robinson.
LJ McCannis. LJ becomes the de facto leader of the beauty tribe and is in charge until the swap, in where he becomes a duo with Tony. LJ is likable enough. He's an affable doofus who doesn't realize how much of a doofus he is.
We all know the egg came first because dinosaurs had eggs. They were before the chickens, so...
He kind of reminds me of Sean Kniff in a way. His idle shenanigans with Tony at the merge is really entertaining.
I would like to give it to LJ. I'd like to cover Tony's ass myself.
Yo, my man.
I hate you guys.
And so is his flirtmance with Trish. His blindside is the start of Tony flipping from alliance to alliance. LJ lands himself in fun downfall.
Can I tell y'all something that I didn't tell nobody? Are y'all cool?
Yeah.
I'm a fashion model.
No wonder you're so freaking hot.
It doesn't surprise me that Jeremiah thinks him being a fashion model is this big deal, top secret thing that he can't tell people.
Jeremiah Wood. Jeremiah is a likable country bumpkin who finds himself in the middle of two alliances on the beauty tribe and ends up flipping on Bryce. Jeremiah doesn't really do much, he's just a smiling pretty face in the background most scenes, and he doesn't really have to. He's an affable enough dude where he's still pretty memorable in an Eric Huffman kind of way. Him thinking and being a model was this big bombshell of a secret that needed to be kept until he spilled the beans Dan Barry style was rather funny. The model himself lands in cute.
I competed in Miss Kentucky. I was second place 3 years in a row. People label me pageant girl, but I believe that beauty is going to help me with the social aspect of the game.
Jeffra Bland. Jeffra will never be a main character, but as far as supporting cast goes, you can do a whole lot worse than Jeffra. Jeffra could have easily been just a basic pretty blonde girl we've seen time after time, but Jeffra adds a lot to the scene she's in. Her celebrating when Sarah is voted out over her is fantastic, and Jeffra's facial reactions in general tend to be pretty great. She gets super paranoid about her place in the alliance and it leads to Tony blindsiding her. She's a perfectly serviceable secondary character, and she should go into cute.
Look, my vote is to, like, not have side convos, honestly. That's what I would prefer.
This is Survivor. Like, you go talk.
I don't want to do that anymore. I don't...
Second, quit! This is, like, the least strategic game I've ever played.
Tasha Fox. Tasha taking out Garrett is one of the best pre-merge moves I've seen of the entire series. Some people say, why keep Jatia over Garrett? Jatia was garbage at challenges, and a big reason why you guys keep losing. Okay, so, say they boot Jatia. Then what? Do they automatically win every challenge? No, of course not. And who's going to be going next if they lose? Either Cass or Tasha. By eliminating Garrett from the picture, now Tasha is in the leadership position. She is in the driver's seat. It was the smartest move she could have done. Now, if you ask me, I think she should have kept Jatia over Cass in the next vote, but hindsight is 20/20. I don't think Jatia would have flipped. I like Tasha a lot. She has a level head on her shoulders compared to the craziness of the Brains tribe, and she only loses her cool when Garrett literally forbids her from having side conversations. Tasha is one of the only people competent at challenges on the Brains tribe, and it helps her being there after they boot arguably their strongest member out. It's awesome seeing somebody take down an incompetent leader and then become a better leader herself. Once the merge hits, she plays this amazing underdog game where she wins 3 immunities in a row and is a major threat to win, and it's why she was taken out the first chance they could. Tasha is for sure a great character, and I'm putting her in entertaining.
You don't want to argue with me, Cass, and let me tell you something. I'd rip you apart in 30 seconds.
Stop it,
crying
guys.
So hard, you wouldn't even be able to
stop it, guys.
Yourself back. You're a victim everywhere you go. Poor me. Everyone's picking on me, but yet you play two sides to every story. But then you turn around with that big, ugly, fleeting grin on your face and act like you're going to win everything. And I got news for you, sister. You're not. You are a vicious and cruel human being. And everyone sees it the way I do, except for you. Everyone here sees you for who you are, except for you. And it's really quite tragic.
Trish, let's take a walk.
Trish Haggerty. Trish is, in my opinion, one of the best one-time players ever to go out at five. Without Trish, Tony is one of the first boots up the Braun Tribe, and I credit Trish completely for the move to take out Cliff and subsequently also Lindsay.
So, as far as I'm concerned, Cliff first to go. Do you know that in 13 days that man has not said one word to me?
I know.
And let's put it this way, when we get to the merge, we gotta get rid of Cliff anyways because he's strong. He'll kill everybody in all the immunity challenges just on his strength alone. He's gotta go.
Her great social game is what let Tony have the run he had. She is entertaining throughout her entire run. Her rivalry with Lindsay is surprisingly a lot of fun in a catty way, and her flirting with LJ is absolutely hilarious. Trish's personality shines through in her confessionals, and I love her Boston take no shit attitude, especially when it came to Lindsay and Cass. She's also hilarious and can cut somebody down in a second, which I love. She stays by Tony's side as his day one ally, only to be tragically blindsided by him after he had just sworn on his father's grave that he wouldn't, which leads me to Trish's greatest moment and what puts her above most of the cast for me, her jury speech.
When I first showed up, you and I, first day, became the best of buddies, and we won the bottom of the alliance, instant friends. And you know what? We started to share intimate stories. Now you sit here now, and you would not be sitting there if I didn't have a big part in it. Because nobody here ever, for one second, trusted you. They trusted me. And I had to convince them all to trust me, to trust you. And I spent the entire game putting out little flames for Tony. So you could sit there. And you came to me in your paranoia, and you said, I'm telling you, man, no, something's going wrong here. I said, Tony, take a chill pill, relax. I'm here for you. I'm never going to leave you. And you said, I need to know that for a fact. I said, well, don't be swearing on your mother and your kid. You've already done that for everybody else. Find something different. And you looked right at me and you said to me, I will swear on my father's grave. I've lost two siblings. And those two losses have put two holes in my heart that could never, ever be repaired. I would never, ever, ever have gone back on the promise of my brothers. Not today, not tomorrow, not for $100 million, not for anything. I have $1 million question for you that I want you to answer to your mother, to your wife, Marissa, to your daughter, Anastasia. Was it worth it to you for $1 million to sacrifice your own father to get you here? Was that worth it to you?
Trish, I was outnumbered when Wolf came up to me. He had Spencer, he had Tosh.
I asked you a question. I don't want excuses. I'm saying to you, heart to heart, friend to friend, human being to human being, answer the question. Is it worth it to you to be here, to play a game for $1 million on your father's soul and memory? Yes or no? It's $1 million question.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's incredible. It's powerful, and it actually shakes me to my core when she talks about how she lost two of her brothers. I don't think lying after swearing on a dead parent is that big a deal. End of the day, it doesn't actually mean anything. But how Trish still made it seem like Tony committed a war crime was just a testament to how good Trish sold that speech. She's incredible. It's a tragedy that she's never returned, and she is going in love.
I entered the World Open Chess Tournament and I tied for first. I certainly don't look diabolical or like a genius, both of which I am.
Spencer Bledsoe. If you like underdogs, there is no man who screams underdog the way Spencer does.
It is a crazy game.
He's like the king of the underdogs. Spencer makes himself known as a fantastic character pretty much immediately.
The fact that you're a nuclear engineer is genuinely scary.
He's a precocious young nerd who thinks he's above everyone else, and he gets a reality check pretty damn quick and has to adapt on the fly pretty much the entire season. While being incredibly intelligent, possibly one of the smartest people who have ever played the game, he has the social grace of a Mack truck. He would admit that himself. He played from the bottom from the Garrett vote all the way to the end, and watching him scramble is a huge part of why he is such a great character. He's one of the best underdogs the game has ever seen. When you see him fighting with everything he has in those early three tribe challenges, it really makes you want to root for the guy. or at least you'll feel bad for him as he gets hurt while wearing blindfolds, as will be a tradition for Spencer. Spencer serves as a rival to Tony, except everything turns up Milhouse for Tony. Tony gets escalators. Spencer gets eels. Spencer metaphorically steps onto rakes the entire game, and it's hilarious watching how hard he scrambles every time he loses a new number one ally. Garrett, Jeremiah, Tasha, and as soon as they're out, it's time to scramble those Spencer eggs. How the hell he made it to fourth is amazing, and how Spencer manages to survive merge rounds, not even being looked at as a strategical threat who should be booted, is rather baffling to say the least. Spencer also serves as a stand-in for the snarky Survivor Redditor, saying things like, Cass, 0% of winning this game.
Cass, zero chance of winning the game.
Or calling Wu a dog.
Wu, when I look at your game, I can't help but make this comparison between your strategic play and the behavior of a dog. I mean, Tony was like your master. When he said sit, you sat. When he said the word, you went and played fetch. The LJ boat, the Jeff Rupp blindside, even in camp life, you were in his pocket 24-7. And when it came down to you having an opportunity to take one of the biggest goats in Survivor history to the end, you did what a good dog would do and stayed loyal to your owner. And is there anything you can say to me to convince me that this analogy doesn't make sense?
For someone like you who's been a student in the game, someone who appreciates the game, can you respect me if I took a goat like Cass to the finals?
Yes. As a student of the game, I would expect you to take a goat to the finals.
He's just not understanding of the fact that people have feelings and don't like their intelligence insulted. Even if Spencer is 100% right about both Cass and Wu, that is irrelevant. Spencer being the lovable underdog nerd, clawing his way to his bitter demise, he goes straight into favorite.
I am an attorney, and my track record is undefeated. They're thinking, oh, how cute, there's the mom. They don't know I'm probably more cunning and ruthless than 95% of the population.
Warning, warning, unpopular opinions, warning, warning.
As much as I love Cass as a character, she did not play a good game on Cagayan. There was no way in hell that Cass was ever winning. I can't think of a single jury vote she even gets, and I hate it when people say that, oh, Cass could have won against Wu, because no, she wouldn't have. Wu may not have been respected out there, but at least he was liked. Cass was neither liked nor respected. I see no way in hell Cass getting a jury vote from Sarah, Morgan, Trish, Spencer, Tasha, or Tony, Jeremiah. Don't listen to Cass when she says, if I was a man, people would be commending my game. No, they would not have. Because you want to know who played the same game? Dreams. How many jury votes did Dreams get again? Oh yeah, none. Who respects Dreams' game? Nobody. Dreams is known as a goat for a reason, and so should Cass. Cass's game should not be respected or admired because it was bad. If you think Cass played a good game, I'm sorry. You need to have your Survivor philosophy rethought out because this isn't even a debate for me. Cass antagonizes so many people for no reason and makes the wrong social move at every opportunity. Like, she plays decently in the pre-merge, don't get me wrong, but once it's the merge, holy shit. You're wrong, Cass apologists. Go watch Cass arriving at Ponderosa if you want to see how much those jurors liked Cass.
I don't think anyone's gonna welcome me. I don't see a lot of kindness in my evening.
Cass came in and it was really uncomfortable.
Nobody has any digs for me? Come on.
Once someone goes, I'm not talking to her, then the next person goes, yeah, me either.
What do you have to say to someone like her? And her whole thing is, I played the game. I'm Chaos Cass. That's what I want. You know, it's not a game that anyone can really respect. You know, she was an agitator, and she got under people's skins, and she played with people's heads, and she was a troublemaker, and she was mean and vindictive.
Seeing her get voted out was like, you screwed us all, and you screwed yourself. There you go. Enough said.
Hoo-hoo, the Wicked Witch is dead.
If I were a man, and I made the moves I made, I would be a strategic genius. Because I'm an older woman, I'm a bitch.
Anyway, Cass immediately becomes a main character on the season, mostly in her roasting the rest of the Brange tribe. She's incredibly witty on confessionals, and has the best character arc of the entire season, and she has quite possibly the greatest heel turn in the history of Survivor when she flips against the old Apari and votes out Sarah. I mean, it destroyed her game, yes, but was it amazing television? Oh, 100%. She then proceeds to just call out everybody at every moment and blow up everybody's game, and I don't get why she did any of that. She didn't even have any real reasoning to the move she was explaining. She just kept saying, I'm playing my game. That's what bad players say. That's what people like Lisi Linares says. She proceeds to start beef with Sarah, Morgan, Spencer, Tony, Trish, Tony again, and she flips off Trish.
Good luck.
A juror, on her way out. The entire way, Chaos is fucking amazing, yes, but she provides some of the best television of the series, and she's a big part of what makes this season so iconic, and if it weren't for there being an obvious Kageyan MVP, Cass would take that crown as the season's breakout star. But she's not a good player. Obviously, she goes in favor, though.
And what do I always say bonds people well? Hatred and enemies.
I feel like I'm stuck in the worst family possible, like with Tony being dad and Trish being the mom, Cass being the sister, and Spencer being the son, and I'm just like that foreign exchange student.
Wu Huang. When I first saw Wu, my first thoughts were, this guy looks like Liu Kang. I love him. Wu is the best member of the Shaggy from Scooby-Doo casting archetype Survivor tends to cast sometimes, the Fabios, the Jason Siskas, and here we have Wu.
The rain is gnarly, treacherous, freezing, it's pouring, it's terrible, but this is what Survivor's all about, baby.
Wu is labeled Weasel Wu immediately for a moment not shown or talked about that was only confirmed by Tony in a Reddit AMA years after the fact for stealing water packs from production, which I don't understand why he did that because they had plenty of water. I don't think water was ever really an issue there. He gets completely blindsided by the Cliff boot and would have been the next boot if they went to Tribal Council again before the merge. Once it's merged, he gets in good with the old Solana, and it's pretty much secure position-wise. He for sure goes if Tony ever went out, but thanks to Tony, his loyal dog lasts all the way to the end with him. It's hilarious watching Cass and Spencer try and talk strategy with Wu, while Wu's just giving the most benign, lukewarm, basic answers he can.
No, you guys are right. Right now would be the time to make the move.
Honestly, working with Wu is stressful, because all I'm getting from Wu is, yeah, something to consider, right?
No, I definitely consider it.
Yeah, definitely something to consider. Watching him interact with kids was a lot of fun, though. He was adorable in that scene.
This is called a turning hook kick, but before I do it...
I love Wu doing his martial arts and being an entertainer. Definitely in his element. Wu's usually quiet. This is the most he's spoken in 31 days is to, 100 kids.
You think he can take the ball from me? Oh, good job.
I really like Wu a lot more after seeing how he was with the kids.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Study hard.
The Sonic the Hedgehog Ninja Skills confessional is one of my favorite confessionals in the history of the show, and Wu is just a trip throughout his entire run.
I'm going to pull out something out of my arsenal, which is my ninja stealth mode. Who's going to take that clue and hand it back to him? No way.
You got something over there, dude.
I hightail it, boom, Sonic the Hedgehog style. I'm cruising through the path. There's no way he's catching me.
I mean, he's not a good player in the slightest, and he loses when he had the game in his hands right there, and he just pisses it away in the name of honor. The real Liu Kang would never do something so stupid. Raiden might, but not Liu Kang.
I'd be the stupidest Survivor player taking Tony Liu.
Wu wins final immunity, and instead of taking the guaranteed win in cash, he takes Tony right after saying to cash that taking Tony to the finals would be the dumbest move in Survivor history, which, yeah, it's up there for sure. Wu then blows it at final tribal, where he gives nothing but lukewarm answer, and he's finally being looked at with a lens. Wu deserved to lose, but the lovable idiot goes into love.
I've been a police officer up in Jersey City for 13 years. I'm always jumping over cars, climbing over fences, jumping from roof to roof, chasing people. So this game to me should be easy. Knock on wood.
Tony Vlachos. Top 5, baby!
Top 5, baby! Top 5, baby! Top 5.
Yeah! Yeah!
I have no idea why Tony lies about being a police officer, only to tell his tribe he lied about being a police officer, only to lie about it again.
Will you look at me real quick? Will you be honest with me?
Uh-huh.
Are you a cop?
No way.
You swear?
I swear.
You look like a cop.
I could be a cop if you want. Why?
You swear you're not.
I swear. Why?
Tony, line of work. What do you do?
Construction.
Loyalty play a part in the construction business?
Yes.
He's a madman. Tony is without question one of the greatest characters ever to play the game, let alone win.
Tony goes crazy and knocks his balls all over the place.
Nobody as wild as Tony was ever expected to win, and this dude won twice. Sure, you may say, oh, he only won because Wu was stupid enough to bring him to the finale, which I say to that, yeah, that, or Tony's just that good, which I'll believe. Tony is on the bottom with Trish on the original Braun Tribe, and thankfully is saved by the fact that they win every challenge before the swap even happens, but then him and Trish execute the move that allows them to control their new tribe, cutting the head off the dragon, which is not Brendan Sinnott for once, but Cliff. Cass then flips over at the merge, and from then on, Tony controls the game until the end. He's one of the few winners to vote correctly at every single tribal council, and has this crazy gameplay strategy of just going back and forth between the alliances, blindsiding his followers 1 minute, and working with them as a family the next round. It's wild that he gets away with it, too. Spencer and Cass are just as amazed at his work. He's this crazy paranoid dude making lava noises and lying his ass off while swearing on every relative and possession he has.
I'm sorry, I don't talk llama. I'm supposed to talk llama to you. You understand that better? She calls me an animal. So I had to talk to her like I'm an animal. So I said, so she could understand me. And she got offended by that, Jeff. It's just a joke.
And it's absolutely brilliant TV. Nobody this unhinged has also been so smart and cunning on the show up to this point. And much like Coach, he's this lightning in a bottle that Survivor has been trying to find again ever since. War Dog, Joe Mina, none of them compared to the real deal, Tony freaking Blachos. Tony is finding every idol, finding the super idol, which is back in Pog form, and he's carrying around his little bag of tricks to every tribal council.
And that's why I brought my bag of tricks with me today.
The way he lies about the super idol working past the final five is absolutely brilliant gameplay, and a new unique way to use an idol. Even if it would have been thwarted by someone asking, hey Jeff, does this still work at four? Tony, however, needs that second person to keep him in check. Here it was Trish. Trish and him are one of my favorite duos in Survivor, and Trish helped Tony win the game. There's no doubt about that. He somehow convinces Wu to take him to the final two over the biggest goat in Survivor history, and Tony wins it all while lying his ass off at Final Tribal Council and not owning his game and blaming people for getting booted, and yet he still wins in a near unanimous decision, because you cannot deny that Tony is the MVP of the season, possibly of the show.
Now I'm gonna run around the beach and crawl up to here, and I'm gonna be right here listening to what they gotta say, and I'm gonna hear everything. So whatever useless Cliff tells Weasel Wu, I'm gonna know crucial information. That's the key to this. It's not just small talk, it's gonna be big talk.
The man is absolutely going into favorite. Alright, and that was Kageyan, one of the best seasons of Survivor ever. Just the whole cast is amazing. Tony is the clear MVP of the season. If you think anybody else but Tony should be at the top of this, you are absolutely insane. And also just, Cass and Spencer are amazing characters in their own right, and so are Trish and Wu. And there's not a bad character on the season, which is so absolutely ridiculously rare for a all newbie season. I don't think it ever happens. I don't think it's going to happen again, honestly. Having Morgan over Tasha and Sarah may seem kind of insane when you look at it. Thank you so much for watching. If you got this far, I really appreciate you, and you're great and awesome and all that good jazz. Next on the docket, we have Survivor San Juan del Sur, Blood vs. Water 2. In my opinion, a pretty damn good season. I enjoy a lot of the cast, even though there's some I'm not too fond of, but there's a lot of good characters on San Juan del Sur, and I think I'm going to enjoy my rewatch. But thank you so much for watching. See you in San Juan del Sur.